This lesson is a part of Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011, hosted by Dr. Paul Chappell in the Lancaster Baptist Church. This lesson is entitled Establishing a Registration System with Mrs. Julie Hanna. Mrs. Hanna is the nursery director for Lancaster Baptist Church, where she and her family have been members since 1988.
Church. A lot of the ladies in here I've seen before or have come to college here or something. But I'm Julie Hanna. I have been doing the nursery for 23 years. I actually took over from Mrs. Chappell. So those were hard shoes to fill even all those years ago. So what I'm going to try to help you with today is establishing a registration system. And I don't know how many of you have seen what we have. But we didn't start out with this. There are lots of ways to figure out who your children are and who they belong to. So the information that you need. So that piece of paper that I just gave to you, we use that for Parent Pager now. But part of the thing is that we've always used something like that. Every time we change how we do things, we change our registration form just a little bit more, ask a little more questions, or decide this really isn't necessary to have on here, so why would we need it? So we take it off. If the notes for this session are on section 12.1. Oh, you're fine. Section 12.1, and it's called Establishing a Registration System. And First Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. I don't know how many of you have small children that you would have checked into the nursery last night. We had a little confusion. Confusion is never good, ever. And we rectified that, and so it's better. We've only had the system that we're using right now since October of 2010. So we're getting used to, trying to figure out how quick we can get people moving. We also moved our nurseries in the past 2 weeks. So the area where the parents check in got smaller instead of bigger. So, it's all these things that you learn year after year. So number one is acquiring information. Oh, I'm sorry. It's 12.1. So it's section 12.1. Track 12? Mm-hmm. Or track 8. And in track 8, it's the first page in track 8.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So it's acquiring information. We live in a kind of a different day and age where people don't like to give you information. It's becoming one of those things. I mean, they'll freely put it on Facebook. They'll do everything. But if I ask for their address, they don't want to give it to me. And I'm like, is your child not just a tiny bit more important than what you did yesterday at the ice cream store? And those are the things that you battle. Because I don't know what it's like. They'll give it to, they'll be at McDonald's, and McDonald's will want them to sign up for email or something. They'll give it to them. But at church, it's like, what are you going to do? Show up at my door? You know what I mean? You're going to be here every single week wondering why I wasn't at church. I don't know if it's just a stigma that just goes along with it. But we have a strict rule. We need the information or we don't take your children. Because I can't help you if you can't help me. And so we started a system a couple years ago before we got this system where I went to, we used to have numbers that we used for registration. You would, that's how we knew you belonged to this child because he was registered as number one. Then we went to a hard plastic card because I was constantly making the paper numbers. So I was like, how can we? So I thought, okay, we'll make them a card and we'll give it to them. And mom, just all she has to do is pull it out of her wallet to pick up her child. And how hard would that be? Just stick it right back in your wallet and you'll have it next week when you come to church. From our regular members, it was like, how am I going to keep track of this? And I'm like, well, see those credit cards in your wallet? My husband would kill me if I just willy-nilly laid the credit card all over the place. And I know that he believes, and I believe, my children are way more important than a credit card. So, we got over that little hurdle. Then acquire the information. The first one is, what do you need to know? And you can look on that paper and see what we feel we need to know. but sometimes I know some churches like have a map. Oh, sorry. Some churches have a map. They say, okay, mark where you normally sit in church. It's never really worked for us because people sit everywhere. And the hardest part is a visitor doesn't know where they're going to sit. So you can't really figure out where they are. So we don't go that route, but it's, you know, if you can figure out, you know, if it's really your church is laid out really easy so you can find them, that helps. But figure out what you need to know. You definitely need to know the baby's name. You need to know the parent's name. You need to know how old they are. And we used to say, you know, how old are they? But our nurseries are split up by months. So I really need to know. You can't just tell me you have a two-year-old. We have three places that a two-year-old goes. So I have to know how many months they are. So now instead of that, we just ask the birth date. The new system what we have now figures it out for us. But I spent many years going, okay, if they're born in April, I love new moms. They know how old their baby is. 10 months in one day, you know. Then you get when they're, this is baby number four. Okay, I have the four-year-old. I really can't. I don't even know what his birth date is. Is it 2009? Is it 2010? So those are all the things. So you have to kind of be willing to help just a little bit. Well, how old is he? Okay, what year was he born in? So you need to make sure that you get that information. Also on here, now in this day and age, allergies. Definitely. It really helps you to know what their allergies are. We have gone to a system where we are a peanut-free zone nursery-wide. Not church-wide, but nursery-wide. We're peanut-free. I had someone come a couple weeks ago that visited, and they wanted to know if we had any gluten-free snacks. Okay, I'm kind of ignorant. I really don't even know what gluten is. It's probably flour or something. I know it's not sugar. I do know that. I know it's not sugar. But I personally, with as many kids, we have up to, well, just Sunday, we had 353 kids, 5-year-olds and under. And on a normal Sunday, it's about 100 less. And I can't keep up with what they call gluten or the 5,000 different words they have for sugar. And so we have approved snacks that I buy that I make sure they're not made near, round, or by a peanut. And those things. But when it comes to that kind of thing, I can't go that far. So those children are told to bring their own snacks, but they have to be approved by me. We went peanut-free, and I had a mom say, well, my children, they're allergic to everything. And I was like, okay, well, if I approve the snacks, you can bring the snack in. So every Sunday, you have to come to me and say, can I bring this? Well, she goes, well, is it okay if I just bring like a Nutella sandwich? And I'm like, no, we just went nut-free. And see, people don't understand because they only know what affects them. That's all they know. Dairy, have you ever heard anybody say they have a dairy allergy? Yeah, they can eat Cheez-Its. So you have to figure out. So it's just too hard. We start to ask them, can they have a Cheez-It? You know, because it makes it hard. Because you can't also have everybody bring in their own snack because then you battle the what they feel is a snack, what they didn't make sure. And I don't know how true it is, but everything at Walmart is marked. Any of their brand is made near, around, or by a peanut. I can't serve any Walmart snacks because it says, I can't even serve fruit snacks from Walmart because that's what it says on there. So just make sure for allergies that when you actually, but be responsible when you ask them what it is, make sure you pay attention to it. Because they're once they write it down, they're thinking you've got it. And we don't have it because, you know, you pass that off to someone else who passes it off to someone else. So make sure with the information that you have what you need on the paper. Letter B is create a form. And that's what I gave you as a form. We have ours, you know, for many years it was just, you know, a piece of paper that I filed alphabetically. Then when we started, you know, as the church started to grow, other people needed that information. Because sometimes, I don't know if you notice, I require information. I'm not going to take your child till I know who you are. But you can go sit in church and be a visitor and not fill out anything. So this is another way to find visitors that came to church that maybe didn't take the time to fill out the visitor's card in the auditorium. So somebody we follow up on the children too, because we'll get the information from them for sure. And then letter C is getting it started. the hardest part is not ever making the paper. It's not running the paper. It's not having the stack there. It's what? Getting them who help you get other people to fill it out. That's the hardest part about a system is only as good as the people that help you. You know, if a police officer stops you on the road and he doesn't pay any attention to your driver's license, what good is he? You have someone else, it's not even you. So that the same thing goes for checking in children. Number two is putting the information to work for you. Letter A is training. When you first start things like this, any type of, and in this day and age, you really honestly have to know, I mean, unless you're very small, 3 or 4 kids on a Sunday, you really have to know who's dropping off, who's picking up. Families come to church on Sunday, and we all think, as a family that attends church, they could be 3 to 5ers, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You don't know what goes on at home. Somebody got mad at somebody that morning. I don't want him to pick her up. I don't want him anywhere near my children. Those are all decisions that become very, very difficult. So you do. It's very important, the information that you have, and that they keep you updated with information. If you have a couple that have decided to separate, legally, they both have the right to pick up that child. We just go, if mom comes and says, okay, I don't want him to pick him up anymore, I'll say fine, and I'll take him off the information. But if he showed up, my only recourse is, because legally I can't not give that child him. I go and get one of the sheriff's deputies, the off-duty sheriff deputies, and the security, and have them deal with it from there. And we probably use it, we'll go get mom and get them to try to figure it out.
Is that a state law or a county law?
Legally, you cannot. That he is as much the father as she is the mother. She would have to have that piece of paper with her that says he's not allowed to have him.
Okay.
That's and that has to be.
We do have some situation like that, and we are a small church.
And we've had situations like that where they have given us a copy of that paper, and we file it with the child's information so that we can pull it up if that is to happen. The same with foster parents. Sometimes the children that they're fostering, their parents find out that they go to church, and they'll walk. So be very careful about, you know, who picks up the children, you know, or that strangers are in your building, you know, like, oh, I've never seen him before, I wonder. And they're kind of just walking around the nursery. You know, those are the things you have to be careful of. And that's where the new system that we have is awesome. Have any of you seen it? It prints out, Tanya, can you print out a paper and a label? It prints out a label that goes on the child with their picture on it. It prints out a piece of paper when you go to put them in the nursery. The piece of paper has a picture of the child, the child's information, the parent who dropped them off, a picture of them, and over here, who's allowed to pick them up. By picture. Not by name, not by...
How do you get all these pictures?
That's how the system works. That's what took us so long yesterday.
Okay, when you drop them off, it kind of...
When we register them, we take their finger. You can do it just by tapping on it. They have what they call, you know what you have for your car? Or what is anybody seeing in the dorm, what you use for the dorm? Scan cards, I think they're called. They sell those with the system also. You don't have to buy the finger ID, which, you know, we worried about at first if everybody was going to freak out because we're taking their fingerprint, but we're not. It's like it just goes into oblivion, and only if you stick your finger down is anything going to show up. I can't break into the system and get all your fingerprints and do anything I want to you. It's just an image that's stuck in there with no name attached to it unless the actual finger goes on the pad. So once we got everybody over that just a little bit, it works really, really well. And then to pick them up, they check out and they get another paper that says out. So you always have to have a paper that says in, and you always have to have a paper that says out. And this system... It works really, really well. There are other systems out there that do basically the same thing. The most important thing is if you ever decide to do something like this is to find out what works well with what you have. We try to find something that we use Shelby for membership. So we try to find something that would work well with Shelby. Letter B is organization. You have to be organized. You have to know where your stuff is. You have to be like this. There's printers and there's labels and all this goes with things. You have to make sure that you have someone that can help you or you yourself that can keep track. It does you absolutely no good if you run out of toner. The nice thing about the label makers, they're thermal label makers, so there's no toner with it. But you have to have a certain type of label, which the company makes, but there's no toner, so really there's not anything extra that you buy for that, just keeping up with the labels. But you have to make sure that you have what you need. And that's for anything. When I did numbers, I had to have those numbers. If I couldn't, oops, we have 27 kids and I only made 25 numbers. If that nursery normally ran 25, I made 45 numbers for that nursery. Because you always have to be prepared. You never know what your nursery is, the one thing that you never, ever know what you're going to have, ever. It doesn't matter. I remember several years ago, I was like, Christmas was on Sunday. And I thought, oh, we won't have many. Oh, my soul. It was a bigger service than sometimes because people have relatives that come and visit. And they go to church on Sunday, so they're all coming. So I never underestimate anymore. I try to overestimate as much as I can. We do the same thing in the ladies' ministry. On Wednesday, 350 people bought tickets. So you think, okay, we'll prepare for 400. The activities on Friday, there's 450. It's like you can't stay ahead of the curve far enough. So Tanya's going to pass these out so you guys can see what the labels look like and what the pictures look like. And this system also, your workers do the same thing. They check in and out of the nursery by their finger. So you know who's there. It makes a label for them. They can put their label on. And then the people that are dropping their children off know you're supposed to be here. It's okay with this church that you're taking this child. You're not somebody off the street. You're not somebody who just walked around the corner. I'm very protective of our classrooms. I have parents all the time that will say, especially when they're visiting, can I come in? You know, I have a 2-year-old. Can I come in with them? We don't allow that. You're more than welcome to go sit with them in the foyer. But I have 25 2-year-olds in there that every single one of their parents are trusting me, that I made sure that who was with them should be with them. And I totally understand the new parent's position. She doesn't know me. She doesn't know any of them. But my loyalty is more to the 25 kids that I already have. And if you don't feel uncomfortable, I completely understand. I'm not going to make somebody feel bad and tell them, you don't have a choice. You have to put your children in. We have a foyer that they can sit in and get the service. I've never understood why you would come to church and sit in the nursery with your child. That's like when I grew up in the Catholic Church. We went to the crying room. I never got anything out of church, ever. I don't know if my mom did. Because they said they're all running around, screaming and hollering. We, as nursery workers, we have a TV in every single classroom. And that is so we can keep up with the service. Not so we can hear the service, so we know what's going on. Okay, it looks like it's going to go a little longer, so let's figure out what we're going to do. Or, whoa, they got done early tonight. You know, okay, we got to get diapers changed. I do not expect any nursery worker to sit there and get the full sermon. That's not what they're there for. So as far as that goes, be organized. Make sure that they have what they need, that they're not running around going, we don't have any labels. We don't have any paper. We can't find the numbers. I can't find the sign-in sheet. We can't, you know, because you look, yesterday when we had problems, and it was just so funny because I know that, not so much you in here, but like Susanna. Susanna knows who does the nursery at Lancaster Baptist Church. And I was the one that failed. And it breaks my heart. I don't want parents standing there trying to figure out how to get rid of their children, make them late for service. I don't want to bother pastor by having 15 families walk in because I wasn't prepared. And so that's why you have to be as prepared as you can. And we're all going to fail at some point. Just smile and do the best you can and fix it the next time. And then number three is security. One of the most important thing is when it comes to security is keeping track, knowing who your workers are, knowing who your children are, and knowing who their parents are. We had an issue here, it was about 6 months ago, and where we sit, we can see, we're constantly looking in the hallways, trying to figure out, because honestly, there should be no one in this building when church is on, unless they're in a classroom, or they're running someone to the bathroom, or they're coming to get a snack. No, anyone that I don't know shouldn't really be in that building. And I just happened to glance over at one of the outside doors, and I saw a man taking a child out, and I was like, I didn't recognize the man, and I really couldn't see the child. So I was like, where did he come from? Because he didn't come past me. So the first thing I did was walked outside, and then I realized who the child was. I went to the nursery to find out. Well, push come to shove, he was never put in the nursery. But this was Dad, who's not married to Mom. And Mom decided it was okay for Dad to have visitation at church. I feel bad for parents when they get in those situations because they don't know what to do. But I went and got security right away, and they really told her the little boy was only like 16 months old, and she was like, well, he wanted him because she's done nothing legally to protect that child. And she's like, well, and the police officers got, they were like, you don't understand. If he decided to put him in the car and leave this property, as a police officer, there is nothing that we can do about it. You need to protect him. You need to protect you. And it's very difficult if we do it here. Or at least let us know. We can't have people walking around campus with children that we don't know. And so when it comes to security, one of the most important things is to be aware. I try to teach all of my teachers, and Tanya does the same thing. Tanya does first through sixth grade. Do not ever walk around this property and see a child and not ask it. I do the same thing in a grocery store. I try to look around to see, here's this three-year-old walking all alone. Do I see an adult somewhere that looks like they belong to that child? Because we're all human, and something can happen. He got out in a grocery store. You're standing there, and 2 seconds later, they're gone. I would love for someone to take 2 seconds to pay attention to my child. And if nothing, take him to the front and say, he lost his mommy. Can you find his mommy? As long as he's protected. And we should never, as conscious adults, walk around this. Same with teenagers. You're not where you're supposed to be. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Do not feel bad about going up and going, so where do you need help getting to your class? Or we have, kids a lot of times will run ahead of their parents. So, one will come in and you're watching, and I'll give it a minute or two, and I'm like, I don't hear anybody else coming. So I'll take them by the hand and go, and all of a sudden here comes the rest of the family. But it just is unconscionable to me not to pay enough attention to take 5 minutes to go, I don't think you should be in the parking lot. Something must have happened. Either you were in a line and you got out of the line, or I'm not saying it's anybody's fault. It's all everybody's fault. But we should do that as just adults on property. And the best place to take a child is where? Church. We had television stolen out of the nursery, where they literally walked in, took them off the walls, and walked out. Walked by tons of people. All you have to do in a church is what? Walk around acting like you would. Know what you're doing. That's all you have to do. That's all you got to do. Figure out. Come a couple times. Figure out what everybody does. Walk in. Walk out. Act like you know what you're doing. That's the easiest way. Parents feel protected on a church property. They let their kids, their four-year-old go to the playground all by themselves. And those are the things so I always just feel that nobody ever wants me to go with them because I watch their kids worse better than I watch mine. But I would want someone to do that for me. If my teenager goes to on a beach activity and they're having a barbecue, I want to know that the leaders that they're with are making sure that my daughter's not walking down the beach all by herself and doesn't get on the bus to go home. And I want everyone to know when they give me someone, I'm going to do the best that I can with that. So letter A is using the information to help you. The greatest thing about having the pictures available is, have you ever needed to find parents and you don't know what, you can't remember what they look like? You're like, oh, they're visitors. I have absolutely no idea. I can take this. I can hand it to an usher, and he can try to find someone. Or find someone that probably, if you, when you have enough ushers and you have enough, someone's going to know who this person is and kind of know where they sit or whatever. That was the greatest thing when we got the pictures. That's why we battled last year. We had just gotten the system last year, and we battled. Do we use it for leadership? Do we not use it for leadership? And Tanya and I were like, yes, we are so used to looking at the name tag, knowing who you are, knowing who you belong to. And they overrode us last year because it was so new, which was probably a good idea. But this year we fought for it, and we said we really, really, really need to use it because we have our workers so trained to, no, you can't put him in. You don't have a paper. No, you can't take him. You don't have a paper. Where's his name tag? And you don't want to deviate with your workers because then they'll get lax and think, oh, then they'll pick and choose their own route. You know, oh, I know you. You don't need a paper. It's like, pastor needs a paper. Pastor needs a paper. If he wants to come and pick it up, Camden or Mrs. Chapel, they have to have that paper. And their name and their picture has to be on that paper. If I don't do it for a pastor, it's not fair for me to do it to you or to you. They're all children. We're all adults. So use the information that you have to the best of your ability. We used to ask what Sunday school class they were in, which helps. Now we look that up later because a first-time visitor doesn't know what Sunday school class they're going to. And we have so many that you can't. It's not like, oh, okay, they're going to be one of three. So use what, when you're figuring out information, try to figure out when you've been in a situation, go, how do we find this parent? The child just got sick. How do I find mom? What's the easiest way to find mom? And then that's the information that you ask for. Cell phones are great now. The only bad thing is just to make sure that if they're going to use their cell phone, that they have it on silent. when we bought the very first beeper system they had, this man who sold it to me really, really wanted me to buy, I call it like the waitress system, where the bar of numbers goes up and the light lights up, you know, and that would have been placed behind pastor's head on the platform. And I was like, oh no, that's not going to work. And it was like $700 cheaper. And I was like, no, that's not going to work. You know, pastor would be like, you guys would all be sitting out here. The light would go on and the four of you would be going, was that your number? And they're all looking right up there. And pastor would be like, what are they looking at? You know, what is going on back there? So we opted for, you know, the kind that vibrate. But the new system, this system, the beepers that go with it, you send a text message. But now you can send, also, you can text them on their phones now. And that, which is, saves you so much money. Because of the fact that beepers are expensive. They tend not to return them sometimes. So it does make it a lot easier. And don't feel bad about asking for their you know, one of the things that we have on that paper is texting. Do you get, give me your cell phone number, and then do you get texting? It kind of doesn't help you keep texting a number that doesn't get texting because it doesn't tell you that. Sorry, don't receive text. So make sure that you use all the information that you can. One thing this system does, you can go through this system and text a cell phone. But it was so funny, Tanya, we were laughing so hard because in order to text a phone through the system, not the beeper, but the phone, you had to have their company. So not only did I have to ask them all this information, and by the way, who's your cell phone company? And what credit card do you use? You know, you feel like you're going to start asking all this because they already think, what do you want, my firstborn? Well, no, not really. I just want this little bit of information. Yeah, so we just decided to go from there. You know, just, okay, well, we're not going to text that way, not through the system. But using a cell phone is great. Letter B. I already said this, know the children and the parents. Know them so that you know, oh, you had another one, or, oh, that one's not yours, you know. Oh, I brought my niece in today, or whatever. So know the children and the parents. C is enforce your system. Whatever you choose. And like I said, we used to have where the name on the sign-in sheet goes with a cubby hole that went with a number. And that's how we knew who that child was during that service. Then we would put the stick on, you know, you write their name on a label, stick it on them. We've used plastic little thingies that go on the baby so that we know number two. This was number two because babies kind of tend to start all looking the same when you're trying to figure out, are you which one are you? And last week, you didn't look like that last week. And, you know, or they changed the bag. I'm always like, moms, could you just keep the same diaper bag? Because I have already know that this one goes. Or I don't know how it does in your areas, but when our babies are born here, they give them a diaper bag, and it's all the same bag. So you have 10 black diaper bags, and you're like going, oh, well, this is going to be horrible. You know, so enforce your system. Make sure your workers know and that they understand to do the best that they can do with what they have. You don't have to have the elaborate system that we have. You can do it the other way. But my biggest thing was, if I couldn't get my workers to ask for the card, or if I can't get them to ask, I can spend thousands, I can spend very little. If they're not going to do it, they're not going to do it. And you can't go, oh, I've known her for years. But the person behind her may be a visitor. And they're going to think automatically, why did she not get asked? Because it's not like you announce it. Oh, I've known her my whole life, so yes, you can have him. It's not like you announce that. So she's wondering, are you picking? We have a real hard time right now because we have Spanish and we have English, and the services are not at the same time. And it's horrible to sit there and go, are you going to Spanish service or English service? I hate asking that question. But I don't know any other way at this point to figure out how to do it. And it has nothing to do with, we don't want the Spanish kids, the English doesn't want, you know, it's not that. The service times are different. And when English is out and it's 12:30, now it's 12:45, and we still have three children left in a nursery, oh, were they supposed to be in the Spanish? Because they're not out yet. It just feels awful when I have to do that. Oh, are you going to Spanish or English? And then when they go, I'm going to English, and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. It's not anything. I'm not trying to pick on them or say, well, you look Spanish, but it's not. We try to adjust more now by our questions by what time they come to church, because there's a big enough difference now where, okay, if you show up at 11:05, you're probably going to the Spanish service, but I'll still have to ask just in case, because they'll say, oh, no, English. So those are the things that you have to really try to get with your system, whatever system you use. Make it be the best for you. It doesn't have to be expensive, like I said. It doesn't have to be this huge thing. But just figure out what works for you, what works for your workers, and ask them, what do you think would be better? They're the ones in there. They're the ones dealing with it. They were so happy. At first, because it was a little bit more work, you know, putting the sticker on, grabbing the paper. But once they figured out, I would have every other Sunday, because we have two service times, so this group of teachers would leave and this new group would come in, and somebody didn't communicate. This is her first time, didn't know who she was. And have you ever asked a three-year-old what their name is? Yeah. Susie? You're like, okay, well, maybe she's Susie. Jenna? I don't know if they really understand or they just play a game. I'm not sure. And then we'd have the teacher walking them over going, do you know who this is? And so we don't have that problem anymore. They wear a tag. We will eventually make this system go through sixth grade, is what we will do eventually. The only problem is it's costly. You got to buy more computers. You got to buy more finger IDs and all that stuff. But eventually we will use it to the best of its ability. We need to know who fifth graders are as much as we need to know who, you know, two-year-olds are. And parents have a little bit of a problem sometimes. You don't need it for my first grader? It's like you're saying, he's not important. We really don't care what happens to him. If he gets lost, we're not going to worry about it. We only care about five-year-olds and under. So you have to so we still make them fill out information, but we're not taking the finger and we're not taking the picture. And then the parents are like, oh, well, why don't you want? And then the kids are like, I want my picture taken, or I want, you know, this. So it's all the battles but everything that you do, everything that you have will always present another trial or another way to make things better. That's how we learn, is it doesn't work out, so you try to tweak it and make it better. And I think we've changed the registration form 3 times since we got this system alone. And then what I'm going to do, Tanya, can you pass these out? I'm going to show you what we actually are using right now, because you guys are all dropping your children off, and we don't necessarily need your address and all that. And it's silly for us to make you sit there and write all this information. So this is what we're using. We use it for, like, leadership conference, youth conference, because I don't know if you know, but Lancaster Baptist Church always has childcare for everything that we ever do. there's childcare. So we have to adjust and figure out. So youth conference, the nice thing is that they come for youth conference, and then they come for leadership. We already have their information.
Oh, this is great.
And once the information is in there, it doesn't go away. The only thing that you may have to do is update pictures.
So this doesn't have a duplicate?
That one doesn't, because we don't do anything with that information.
Okay.
As far as...
But this one has a duplicate because...
That goes to someone else who does the Shelby. Mm-hmm. And make sure our biggest problem... I don't know if you all have, is trying to figure out if someone's not paying attention. What we used to have when they would sign in, they would take roll on the sheet, and if there was a new child, they'd look to the back, they'd put it on the back, they put the child's name, their address, and their birth date. But there was never any information about the parents. And in this day and age, you don't know who they belong to. I mean, I will literally do a mom who has four children, four different last names, sometimes four different addresses. And so we were trying to figure out, so when we went to St. Shelby with Parent Pager, there were all these children that were head of household because they'd never been linked up to a family. So then we started changing, when we got Shelby, we started changing, and on the registration form, we started making them put the parent's name. So then Melanie, who does that for us, always comes, and she'll take, that's where that duplicate copy goes. So now Melanie knows who they belong to. And then we also have on Parent Pager, we know who they are. Grandma, mom, dad, aunt, foster parent. So that helps us know. Because when you deal with foster families, they're bringing different kids in all the time. And you're trying to keep up. It's like, you know, you look at Shelby and this one, it's got like 15 names, and you're like, they surely don't have 15 children. And they're all different last names. So you just try to, so we put foster, just so that we know, okay, that makes more sense. Okay, because we're trying to figure out, because you can't find out who their parents are if you can't link them to somebody. And so that is one thing, you know, that's information that we put on there now. And then we found out as we went on a little bit that we didn't want to keep duplicating everything. So I don't know if you noticed, but sometimes people call themselves different names. Not like to be misleading, but it's like, well, we call him, you know, if you ask people, have you ever been here before? What do they say? Nine times out of ten, no, I've never been here before. So then you go to put them in the system, and you find out they were here a year ago. And the way we do things now with computers and everything, you had them already, so now you have two of them. And you're trying to figure out which one do I get rid of, which one do I keep, which ones, you know. It makes it easier for Miss Melanie, who does that for us. So then what we started doing was, okay, Grandma and Grandpa brought them. So we had Grandma and Grandpa's information. 3 weeks later, Mom and Dad brought them. Mom and Dad, have you ever brought them before? No. So now the boy is in there twice. So what we started doing... Right. So what we started doing is, if you bring someone that's not your physical child, we want you to give us as much of the parents' information that you can, even if it's just the parent's name. We've had people come in who babysit children who don't know the child's name and can't tell you what the parent's name is. And I'm like, you would drop some...
They babysit, but
they don't know Mom and Dad's name. And they don't really know the child's name. Well, I'm not sure, and they don't know this, and they don't. And I'm going, wow. I think they just is, but it is this. It's today. It's society today. Here's my child. You look like you're going to take care of them. And me, as a caretaker, I'm not thinking to ask. I should know the parent's name. If I'm going to let you take my child to church, I would like you to know who I am. The case that just happened, she dropped her off with a nanny that honestly she really never dropped him off with, but she only had the first name of the nanny. And I don't understand it. I don't know if it's because I work with children so much and I see so much, or if it's just me anyway. I would know everything about you. If I leave my children with a babysitter, they're going to know where I am, how to get hold of me. I'm going to know who they are. I'm going to know who their parents are. And it just, you know, it just, it's, but it's society today. And we have to adjust to it to keep our things going as best as we can. So that's what I have. Also, if anybody wants it, I do have little packets from Parent Pager that give you some information about the system that we use that you can get after. But does anybody have any questions? Yes, ma'am.
You mentioned having plastic. You went from paper to plastic, and I understood the whole thing. Did you get like hard plastic?
Right.
Like
do you guys know what we're wearing for name badges? They actually sell machines. I don't know if any of you were in registration, but there's machines that do this. But what I went to first was where Tanya came from was in Georgia, and they have a company called NLS. Mm-hmm. And they sell different things. One of the things that they started selling was a security card, and you flip it over and you write on the back of it. That's what we started using. That was what the hard plastic card was. And I think they were 50 cents a piece. If you bought stock, they were 50 cents a piece. We have the diaper bag tag. We get diaper bag tags from them. Those are personalized, but the security cards, we put the information we want on the back. So we put Lancaster Baptist Church, and we put pastor's name, and then the child's name and the birthday. That's what we put on the back of that card. And it just made it a lot less inexpensive because of the fact that sometimes I don't take care of them. I don't have my card, or I don't have. We battle that now with the key fobs. My finger doesn't work, so we give them a fob. Oh, well, I left it, and they don't understand that number goes with that, and without that, you know, it's all, everything is, you know, process that you try to figure out different ways to do it. But is there any other questions?
NLS, is it online?
What's it called?
Yeah, she did it online.
But I can't remember. It's something specialties, but I can't remember what the NL stands for. I can't remember. It's her initials. Okay. Yeah, it'll come right up. And they also do, because they're one of those places that print on mugs and all that kind
of
stuff.
Like
they started out smaller. They started out with really, honestly, church-related. They wanted things that, the little plastic things I was talking about, they're shaped like little animals, and they have a clippy just like these. That's what we use for many. They sell that as a security system, where you give the keychain part to the parent, and the plastic thing goes on the child. We just use it actually to mark the children for many years. And we would just write the number with Sharpie on the back of that. And that's great, too. And it's not expensive. Yes, ma'am.
In your system, do you have a set, like, age limit, like, as far as siblings being able to come and pick up children?
Yes, 16.
And can I ask why it's 16?
Years ago, when we just did the card, my philosophy was, if you're not going to be smart enough not to give your 5-year-old the card to pick up your 3-year-old. I can't manage that. That's something you have to live with. So as long as I have the card. I just can't consciously let that happen anymore. So we just said 16. But I feel for the parents. I mean, I don't know. Do any of you know, like, Jenny Navarrete? She has the 3 little ones, and then she's got my... You know, she'd be a parent that if she did, you know what I mean? 18 is really, you know, a lot of times your 18-year-old's not even with you anymore, so they're not going to help you. So we went to 16 because the parents feel that they're responsible enough. They can get a driver's license. They should be able to pick up their brother or sister and get them where they need to go. So we just made it 16. It wasn't any magical. We just figured that was responsible enough. What we do is, if you notice on this form, if you look at the bottom, it says other authorized. If you were to come in and you filled out all your information and we put you all in the system and then you decided your sister was in town and you wanted her to be able to pick the kids up while she was here, this would have to be filled out again, the bottom part, so that we know you gave us permission to allow her to pick them up. And that's where we put the responsibility. We try to keep putting the responsibility as much as we can back on the parents. And they are told, you need to be responsible and come to us. If you don't want her to pick them up anymore, so we can take her out of the system. And so that's what we have to do. Yes, ma'am.
What's the best? We're just starting a nursery. My husband and I went to a church that's older. And so basically our job is to bring in the younger.
Mm-hmm.
I started a nursery about a year ago. I don't have near the amount of workers that I need, but, you know, we're dealing with that. What's the best way to train them? Because I've tried getting them all together, and believe it or not, the few I have,
I can't get them all together.
Well, the first misconception is just because they're a mom makes them a good nursery worker. That's not always the case. The most important thing, I think, the way we try to handle it the best that we can, is we try. We have a form a booklet that they go through. We try to train them the best that we can. We tell them when to change diapers. We tell them when to. We try to find responsible people. You don't come here and just become a nursery worker.
Right.
You didn't do that when Mrs. Chapel had kindergarten, 0 through 6th grade either.
No.
So it didn't matter the size. Is it just because we look bigger? We still have the same issues that everyone else has. The most important thing is to train them and to work with them. Because the most difficult thing is that they're all moms.
Right, we're all busy.
And to do it after church or to do it, Brother Willis, who's sitting back there, several years ago, we used to do this nursery appreciation dinner. And it was great. You know, we'd have the nursery workers come to church at 6 o'clock one night, and we'd feed them dinner and all that stuff. And then I started thinking it was because they were tearing up the gymnasium. The parking lot was a mess, and we had it out there, and we're fighting the parking lot, and we're walking over things that, you know, where they cut the concrete, you know, so you have to walk over that. And I was just sitting there going, how is this a blessing to anyone? Before I left my house, I had to make sure my family was fed. I had to get myself out of the house, and when I come home, the house is going to be a disaster. How did I just appreciate you? And I was thinking more from myself. I wouldn't, you know what I mean? It's a little bit harder to get over that hump. So what we started doing about 4 years ago is we do a nursery appreciation luncheon on one Sunday every year after church on a Sunday afternoon, and we invite the whole family. We invite the nursery worker and her family, and we feed them, and that's all it is. Because what you'll get is people who won't come to meetings because they think, oh, I've heard that. I know what she's going to say. But they don't. And we correspond through, actually, we do a lot of going back to the direct nursery and doing it right there, showing them, okay, we've changed this, so this is how. They don't listen in a meeting half the time. They're thinking about they got to get home, they got school tomorrow, they got this, they got that. So you just have to find what works best for you. But we do have meetings. If it's really important information, we'll try to get, you don't get them all together. And, you know, you may have 150 show up, but of those 50, hopefully they can help pass on.
Right.
And then we follow up with, you know, you take a roll, we follow up to make sure, okay, did you get that? Did you understand it?
Do you have copies of your handbook?
Actually, if you buy Pastor's book, Order in the Church, it is a wealth of information, and there's a CD in there, and everything in there, everything that we use is right on that CD. The sign-in sheet that we use, you just pop it in and you make copies of it. And everything that we do for nursery is right in there. Except for we've had the new system since the book was written. But, you know, all the security, all that is in one chapter in Pastor's book. And it's really helps because it has the paperwork to go with it. And you can do what you want. I teach a class in the college. And this is what I teach them in the college. I teach them a nursery and child care and how to get it started, you know, for five-year-olds and under. And that, you know what, you may see this. But it's an idea. And I work best off of the idea and tweaking it for myself. If I have to sit here and think of it, it's a little bit harder for me. But I can take something that you have and make it to fit me. And that's more what any of that does. But
the CD, you can print the things.
Yeah, it's all printable. It's all. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's a lot of it we make ourselves.
Right, you just say that.
We just put it on Excel or something like that. So any other questions? Yes, ma'am. I don't think so. I don't think Shelby is. That's what we use for the database for the actual church. I don't think it is compatible with Mac. That's the hardest part if you're Mac users. This property is half and half.
Do you recommend
any other Mac users? At this point, we haven't. I would probably contact them and say, this is what we. A lot of these things, like we just started a planning center thing that we use. It's something that a church created, and we go through that. And to make my nursery schedules, and they do it for music schedules, that's not Mac either. You can't use it on a Mac either. Oh, no, you can use that on a Mac. That you can use on a Mac. But you can use it on a PC too. But some of it, it's more like you have to call and ask them what would. Like I have that problem with card programs. I have Macs at home, but I use a PC here. So I'm trying to, I can't get them to work together. So I just, you know, decide where am I going to make it out of. If I'm going to do it at home, I'm going to do it here. So that's the hardest part between Mac and, which will probably be forever. Because they're competing with each other and they don't want to steal each other's things. Any other questions? No? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming. And if I don't work here full time, but if you ever need anything, just call. You can talk to Tanya. She'll get me the message. Or you can email at Lancaster Baptist Church. Everybody's email address is their first name dot their last name at lancasterbaptist.org. So it's not hard to find us. Thank you.